the Air Transport Association gets a new president. The first A350 nacelles are being readied for testing. And medical incapacitation has its rare upside. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, November 30th, 2010. This is going to take some getting used to. The guy we've come to identify closely with the fight to impose user fees on general aviation is leaving as the president and CEO of the Air Transport Association of America. James May will be replaced effective January 1st by Nicholas Calio, who currently leads global government affairs for Citigroup both in the U.S. and in the more than 100 countries in which the company does business. He previously served in the administrations of both George W. Bush and his father, in both cases as chief liaison to the U.S. Congress. Of the impending change, Calio commented, quote, "I have enjoyed 8 good years at Citi, which is a great company with wonderful people, but I couldn't pass up this tremendous opportunity. I look forward to working with the aviation industry, Congress, the administration, and the business community to ensure a financially sustainable airline sector, providing safe, reliable transportation for consumers, utilizing modernized infrastructure, and operating in an environment that enables the U.S. airline industry to compete globally," unquote. Glenn Tilton, who chairs both United Airlines Holdings and the ATA, said of the outgoing May, quote, "We thank Jim for his tireless leadership and commitment during some of the most difficult years this industry has ever faced. Jim's efforts over the past 8 years on behalf of the industry have been many and are much appreciated. We wish him well in the future," unquote. The first thrust reverser for the Airbus A350XWB, which will be installed on a Rolls-Royce Trent XWB engine to be used in engine ground testing, has been delivered by Goodrich Corporation to the Rolls-Royce facility in Derby, England. Goodrich shipped the thrust reversers from its Aerostructures facility in Chula Vista, California, which was also the site of final assembly. After initial testing in Derby, the reversers will first be sent to a Rolls-Royce ground testing site in Mississippi. Airbus awarded Goodrich the contract to be the exclusive provider of the nacelles and thrust reversers for the A350XWB in 2005. The contract is valued at $6 billion over 20 years, including original equipment and aftermarket revenues. Goodrich VP Tom Donnelly noted, quote, "We went from engineering release to shipping hardware for this innovative nacelle system within 12 months. That's a remarkable achievement and a testament to the entire team," unquote. Goodrich will support the A350XWB engine ground testing in the U.S., England, and Canada. An Airbus flight test A380 will serve as the testbed. Goodrich content on the A350XWB also includes the wheels and carbon brakes, air data system, and ice detection system, external video system, and cabin attendant seats. Stories of medical incapacitation in flight are very rare, and usually end badly for the pilots involved. But according to the National Transportation Safety Board, an accident which happened during taxiing earlier this month at Tucson, Arizona, may actually have saved the pilot's life. The Piper PA-30 hit a building November 10th, causing substantial damage to a wing. The pilot, who's an ATP and CFI, was on the way back from an aborted flight check for a CFI renewal. He'd asked a mechanic to check the brakes on the plane, and the mechanic found no problem with them. The pilot's inability to stop the plane on his return to Tucson is what resulted in hitting the building. He had terminated the check ride because of headaches during the oral portion. 2 days after the accident, the pilot and his wife contacted the FAA investigator to report that the pilot had become disoriented following the accident, was diagnosed with a previously undetected medical condition, and immediately underwent surgery. Up next on ANN, Avadyne continues upgrading the DFC-100. Bi Energy takes on a partner to develop an electric Skyhawk. And IBA puts some hard numbers to maintenance costs. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 30th. I'm Paul Plack. Avadyne is announcing additional features for its DFC-100, even as it waits for FAA approval. New enhancements include full-time flight envelope alerting, coupled VNAV during descents and missed approaches, fail-safe dual AHARS inputs, flat position input, enhanced mode selection logic, support for the optional Cirrus roll servo, and integrated FMS vectors capability. CEO Dan Schwinn commented, quote, "Leveraging the power of R9 and the DFC-100, Cirrus owners can now have a truly integrated flight deck system that reduces heads downtime, enhances redundancy for minimal disruption during failure modes, protects against inadvertent departure from the flight envelope, and dramatically reduces workload through all phases of flight," unquote. The DFC-100 is still on schedule for certification by the end of this year for Cirrus SR-20 and 22 aircraft with Integra Release 9. An aviation alternative energy technology company and a designer of mobile power products have agreed to collaborate on the development, integration, and manufacturing of battery storage systems for Bi-Energy's electric and electric hybrid propulsion system for general aviation aircraft. Bi-Energy and Panasys are the partners. Bi-Energy CEO George Bi says Panasys is an exciting, experienced developer of battery systems that, quote, "plays a critical research and engineering role in the assembly of our alternative energy system. Panasys technology will allow us to unlock the capabilities of our advanced lithium cells, making the electric Cessna 172 battery units among the most advanced in the world," unquote. Bi has partnered with Cessna to create an electric Skyhawk tech demonstrator we expect to see at shows next year. At the UBM Aviation Managing Aircraft Maintenance Costs Conference in Zurich, Switzerland 2 weeks ago, International Bureau of Aviation President Phil Seymour presented a session on the options and considerations for in-house versus outsourcing aircraft maintenance. Among his topics, Seymour said outsourcing seems attractive in part because it puts a definite number on the cost, while operators doing maintenance in-house don't always know exactly what they're spending. To demonstrate the validity of the assumption that falling lease or finance costs are offset by rising maintenance costs as an aircraft ages, Seymour produced a graph tracking the relationship. In his example of a Boeing 737-800, his numbers show a constant offset during the period when the aircraft is between 8 and 24 years old. The disclaimer was, of course, that there will be variations according to airline and aircraft operational profiles. Still ahead, a legacy robotics competition gets a $20 million grant. The Charles Stark Draper Laboratory earns a NASA grant. And the globe may be getting warmer, but it's hard to imagine it this morning. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, November 30th. I'm Paul Plack. NASA says it'll provide up to $20 million over the next 5 years to support a national program to inspire student interest in science, technology, and mathematics, with a focus on robotic technology. The funding is part of a cooperative agreement with FIRST, the Foundation for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology, a nonprofit in Manchester, New Hampshire. FIRST provides students the opportunity to engage with government, industry, and university experts for hands-on, realistic exposure to engineering and technical professions. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden says this is the largest NASA-funded student program dealing with robotics. Quote, "For the next 5 years, approximately 25,000 students across the country will not only learn from our nation's best and brightest, but also compete and have fun at the same time," unquote. The centerpiece of the program is the annual FIRST Robotics Competition. During more than 45 regional competitions, teams of high school students have 6 weeks to build a robot using identical kits of parts. The regional competitions culminate with an international championship in April. It's a little like a cross between an athletic event and battle bots. Teams compete in an area the size of a small basketball court. The robots must have offensive and defensive capabilities to accomplish a task while preventing opponents from doing the same. The robots must be sturdy because they have frequent contact between the machines. The collaboration between NASA and FIRST dates back to 1999. FIRST itself was founded a decade earlier in 1989 by U.S. entrepreneur Dean Kamen. NASA has selected the Charles Stark Draper Laboratory of Cambridge, Massachusetts, to provide advanced guidance, navigation, and control system development and avionics technology development and analysis at the agency's Johnson Space Center in Houston. The new contract is worth $45.8 million. The services are for use in the guidance, navigation, and control systems of the Space Shuttle, International Space Station, future spacecraft, or other projects that would require such a system. The 5-year contract is scheduled to begin tomorrow and extend through November of 2015. And finally today, the Obama administration's new direction for NASA includes a greater emphasis on the study of Earth sciences and climate change. The agency reports it has undertaken the first comprehensive global survey of temperature trends in major lakes, measuring only at night and doing so during the summer to minimize delays lost to surface ice and cloud cover. NASA has used infrared measurements of 167 lakes taken by orbiting satellites to determine that the lakes are warming at an average rate of 0.81 degrees Fahrenheit per decade, with some lakes warming as much as 1.8 degrees per decade. NASA says the findings have implications for the risks of algae blooms and other phenomena, which could change the mix of species which can live in the bodies of water. The largest and most consistent area of warming was Northern Europe. In North America, trends were slightly higher in the southwest United States than in the Great Lakes region. Researchers say the data corroborates measurements taken by surface air probes and buoys in the Great Lakes, although in some cases the lakes are warming faster than the surrounding air. I have no particular comment on this story. It just felt nice to talk about global warming. It's 6 degrees Fahrenheit at my place near Salt Lake City this morning. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks about the recent history of ballooning with Andy Baird of Cameron Balloons. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.